Happy birthday, Rog. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it's 50. Not far off it. Yeah, I do feel old tomorrow.
Yeah, you have to talk to us.
That's a pleasure. I don't mind that. That's good.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball. GAA.
Danielle Caldwell, how are things?
Good, how are you?
Good. We're at the launch of the John West Fela competitions for this year. They've been sponsoring the competition for a long time. A great competition. Back when you were eligible to play Fela, I don't think you were even playing Gaelic football under 14s, 15s, were you? Or did you just start then?
Yeah, no, I wasn't even, I didn't even know Gaelic was a thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So my two sports would have been field hockey and athletics. So yeah, Gaelic wasn't really in my primary school really at all up in Greystones, but... Yeah, then I moved south and or west, and sure, that's all that's around. So, yeah, I didn't play any Fela, but my friends would have had like a lot of fond memories from it. So, yeah.
And would you've always been sports mad? You mentioned hockey there. Like, did it take long to take to the football once you went west to Mayo?
It took me a bit. Yeah, just the skills aspect of it, but like athletically, I would have always been really sporty. I was a bit of a tomboy growing up, so yeah, skills wise would have took a bit, but. When you're doing running and field hockey, it's kind of the same, you know, team sport in the hockey and then athletic running. So yeah, I was athletically, I was applied.
And talking about loving sport and being interested in it, was it always a goal to play county and play with Mayo? Was that something that you always wanted to do, or did it just happen?
I think it kind of just happens. I feel like goal-wise, growing up, I always wanted to be a runner. The Olympics, everybody wants to run in the Olympics. But yeah, I think my focus probably would have been more athletics. I kind of just fell into the Gaelic. And then I took soccer very seriously as well. I played with my club, Caspar Town, but I also played with Mayo for the soccer in Ireland. So I think I wanted to go down more the soccer route, but then the love of Gaelic kind of just took over. So yeah.
And when did that shift happen? Was it late teens or?
It was... So I think it was kind of when I was 16, 17, I got called into the Mayo senior squad. And then after that, I kind of just made my decision that I wanted to focus on the Gaelic. Yeah, so yeah, I enjoyed it.
Well, it's paying off, back-to-back All-Stars.
Oh, yeah.
You know, watching you play and anytime anyone talks about Danielle Caldwell, it's always breaking out of defence in that typical Mayo style. Who were your, you know, Mayo, you know, counterparts that you were looking up to when you were breaking in?
I think looking up wise, I would have looked up to people like Martha Carter. When I actually first started Gaelic, I was actually a corner forward, so it was more I was breaking back trying to win the ball. But yeah, so I was in a different position completely. So I would have looked up, obviously, Cora Saunton is an absolute legend to Mayo. So I would have looked up massively to her, and she would have guided me a lot when I was on the pitch. And then Mayo-wise, I always love Boyler. I feel like Colin Boyle. He's kind of, I feel like two of us are short and stocky. So
in that model.
Yeah. So I feel like probably Boyler, yeah. I like his style of football. He's tough and he's ready to go at it. Yeah, so I like him.
And would you have had, when you were just breaking in, would you have had a lot of experience marking Cora in training games and stuff like that? Or would you been more cornerback, wingback?
So I would have been playing beside her, so I would have been corner forward and Cora would have been full forward for my first few years. And then when I went back, I went into the back line with Peter Leahy in my first year with him, and then I would have been marking the likes of like Cora and stuff like that. And like you're marking the best in the country, like of course you're going to develop as a player. So yeah, and then coming on from that, then there's other like other marquee forwards that I would have marked, for instance like Sarah, Niamh Kelly, you know, Rach Kearns, like, so they all help develop and they would always give me like feedback on how to do things better or how to mark them differently that would win you the ball first. So yeah, I'm blessed that I had great people that wanted to see me succeed. Yeah,
yeah, you can tell that sport was always in the plan. You mentioned athletics and soccer. Mm. You know, some Gaelic footballers have been very lucky to experience the professional lifestyle over in Australia. Do you know a couple of Mayo players over there? Have you been over on a holiday or anything yet?
I haven't been on a holiday, no. Obviously, yeah, we've had a massive loss from our players going over to AFL, and like we love them as people and we want to see them succeed and do whatever's best for them. So but obviously we just have what we have in front of us, so we're just working with what we have. But yeah, we wish them every succeed, like they're our friends at the end of the day, you know. And then I don't really know, like you never know what day to day how life's going to go. Yeah, you wouldn't really know what next year holds, but yeah. Obviously it's a huge opportunity, and like all we ever want to do is like be professional athletes, and it is difficult like managing your job and also you're training at probably a very elite level as well on top of that. So it is hard to manage both. But no, it's not something that I've really put much thought into or anything, but you never know what the future may hold.
You're back living at home now. Does that make a difference? Because you had a fairly severe schedule there for a couple of years trying to balance county with college and work. You were over in Manchester studying. Was it physiotherapy and rehabilitation? Am I right in that?
Yeah, physio, yeah. So I studied over in Manchester for 3 years. So the first 2 years I was coming home, I was flying home nearly every weekend for training and matches. And then for the last year, COVID actually hit. So then I was out there for the full year. But yeah, that was a hectic schedule, but I honestly loved it. But yeah, now I've moved home. Yeah, it's great. Being at home is lovely. It's nice being around the family again, especially from living away for 3 years. But to be honest, the schedule is still as hectic as it ever was. And even, you know, at college, you might be able to have a little bit of a sleep in if you're tired from training the night before. But with work, you can't really get away with that. So you're up at 8 o'clock every morning getting out, you know.
What are you working on?
I'm a physiotherapist. Yeah. So working in the hospital, Mayo University Hospital. Yeah, I love it. It's great. Yeah, I'm a staff grade currently, so I'm currently going through my rotations. But yeah, it's a great job. I love the people aspect of it. Yeah, so it really fulfills me.
And it's not necessarily the sports route of physio, is it? It's more so rehabilitation, is it?
Yeah, so yeah, obviously there you can go down the sports aspect of it. I would find that putting on your boots every evening would be so mentally draining. So I've kind of stayed at the hospital aspect of it. So it's 8:30 to 4. And it's just nice to have like your job separate to your sport and career kind of. You need to have a good balance between the two.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that is important.
Yeah.
I saw you were on the Plant the Planet Games trip with Alan Kearns, and I think there's about 50 inter-county stars across the board over there as well. They're in Kenya this year again. You had to raise €10,000 to get over, but it looked like a phenomenal experience.
Like hands down the best thing I've ever done. It was incredible. The work that Alan and his colleagues are doing is just fantastic. And you know, like raising 10 grand at the start, it was so daunting, and I was like, oh, like it nearly put you off going. But I'd raise it 3 times over now to see where the money actually goes to and how it helps and facilitates the works that they're doing out there. It's just incredible. Yeah
Give us an insight, like what is it, or how did it have such an impact on you?
Yeah, see, like everyone keeps asking us when we get home, like, what was it like, tell us. But like, it's just so hard. It was such a profound like experience. It's quite hard to put into words, but like even just seeing, like, you know, we've so much like material wealth here at home, and like they probably don't have a lot of material wealth, but like they're like so happy, like, you know, with the very bare minimum that they have, like they would give away. They're so generous, so kind, so loving. Yeah, and it's just completely different culture switch. Yeah, it was an eye-opening experience, and like it just makes you so much more grateful for what we have at home. Like we've so much, too much really. But yeah, the work that they're doing is just incredible.
No, you can see the impact it's had on anyone who's been over. And I think there's been a document. I think there could be something on TG Carr coming up over the next little while as well. I know Alan Kearns' Lake Regale was on recently too, so that was a great watch. Yeah. But do you make friends with players from other counties and stuff when you go over there as well? Because there's not that many chances to do that when you're playing.
Yeah. Well, we are kind of in the LJFA. Well, I know the All-Star trip now is gone, but for the last few years we've had the All-Star trip, and you would actually make friends with the girls, and then as soon as game day, that switches. You're not friends anymore. But yeah, no, you do make good relationships with other people in other countries. And that was an absolute prime example of like getting to know everyone. 50 Gaelic players, like you actually couldn't ride it in Kenya. Do you know, like it was great. It was unbelievable. But yeah, and it's even interesting to see like how other counties, like you kind of have small conversations about like what type of resources they have compared to what you have. But yeah, it was great. It was unbelievable.
Well, Andy Moran always talks about, he says now he fluked his way on to the 2010 All-Stars trip. Now, obviously he didn't. He won it on merit. But he always talks about seeing the Cork lads in action that time. They'd obviously won an All-Ireland in 10. And he was able to take stuff from that and bring it back to the dressing room. And then you obviously saw the journey Mayo went on for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Is that something that you're seeing when you're even on the trip with Kenya? Or do you know, like, is that what you're seeing with others?
Yeah, 100%. And you're even, like, slyly just kind of, like, observing how they're, like, you know, their mannerisms and how they talk about their team. And, yeah, small, like, nuggets of stuff that you can bring home to your team at home. Even like Dan Marcy, 5-time All-Star winner, or All-Ireland winner.
Probably both.
Yeah. So like even just seeing like where is Limerick like getting all their success from, like, you know. So interesting just having small conversations and trying to, as I said, just little nuggets.
Yeah, sounds like a great experience. So Mayo in 2024, you've been in back-to-back All-Ireland semi-finals.
Yeah.
like same conversation with Conor Glass, same conversation with Beck Carton, same conversation with Owen Murphy today. How are you going to get that extra couple of percentage this year? Because you are the hunters.
I know, yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of a nice position to be in the hunting group, you know. We've nothing really to lose. Like, we're just trying to build on what we've... Like, we had a massive foundation there with Michael over the last 3 years. So, yeah, we're just trying to build on that foundation. And also with new management in, it's new perspective and, like, new girls getting new game time and... Sometimes with new competition, you see a different aspect of a girl that you've never seen before, which is huge for the team aspect. But yeah, hopefully this year now we can bring another notch. But the competition is huge in the ladies' game, and you're not going to, like, league is so different to championship. You won't really know how championship fares out until you kind of are in it. Like, but yeah, hopefully we can take it a step further now this year.
Yeah, I asked Owen Murphy earlier on, I was kind of joking, I said he has the best vantage point being in goals of how hurling has changed over the last 15 years. How do you think women's football has changed in the last 7-8 years?
Yeah, so like even like comparing it to when I started, which was 9 years ago, the development of the game is like huge. I feel like the main aspect would probably be like in strength and conditioning, the physicality of the game. Like, you actually would not be able to compete if you weren't doing your 3 gym sessions a week. So yeah, the physicality has improved massively, and then subsequently the speed of the game has improved, skill level has improved greatly as well, and then you add tactics into that. Kind of me kind of brought a bit more tactic to the game when they were winning the All-Irelands. So yeah, the game is it's definitely improving year in, year out, and it's going good, I think. Yeah.
Danielle Caldwell, best of luck in 2024. There's a lot on the line for Mayo, same as everyone here talking at the launch of the John West Fela competitions for this year. Thanks for chatting to us and Off the Ball, and best of luck.
Yeah, thanks a million. Thanks for having me.
Beth Carton, Waterford Camogie Player, Camogie Player of the Year for 2023. How are things?
Not too bad, and yourself?
How have you been carrying that award?
Ah, sure, look, you're trying to forget about it a bit now in the new season. It's well gone now, but look, it was a nice one for the club, for the family and that, but you'll be reminded of it in training. It's well gone now by the girls, so it's no issue.
Of course. Now, look, at it. The personal awards, like Conor Glass won Club Player of the Year during the week. Yeah. Look, they are, come on, they're lovely things, they are. Does your mum and dad have it up in the mantelpiece, or have you got it in the room at home?
I know the parents have it now, and look, it is their child, and it is a nice one, definitely is, that you're acknowledged, but I suppose it's a new year and you have to focus on that as well, and whatever you did last year is well gone now.
Yeah, of course it is. For yourself, like, and for Waterford, that was a long time. That was your first senior final in, was it 80, 78 years or something like that? I know that stuff maybe doesn't matter, but, or does it matter?
It probably doesn't matter to the group of players that's there, because you're aiming for it every year. Probably the county as a whole was probably big for it, and everyone did get behind us because it was so long. And look, Waterford probably doesn't get to finals too often, and we love our hurling down there. So probably was big for everyone else, even though when you're involved, probably not looking at it too much.
Yeah. In terms of progression for the team, though, like, you guys, 2015 intermediate title, you know, protect your status at senior level, you start developing, you're motoring through the grades. This is all part of the plan. So how do you get to the next level?
Yeah, look, like you said there, first few years up senior, there were a tough few years, we say to some of the younger ones now, they don't know half the hardship. But yeah, look, and it's just trying to progress. You're saying, how do you progress? We made a final last year, but you can't even, I don't think you can even think like that. It's just each game as they come. We're like, our first aim this year was to stay up Division 1 in the league, because it's so tight, there's 6 teams there and one is relegated straight off. So that was our first aim, kind of. And you just take each game as they come. We've Galway next in the league, and that's kind of the way we're doing it. I don't think you can look at, oh, you have to get back there, because it doesn't work like that, and I think, you know, it doesn't. So it's actually each game as they come and we see how we go.
Yeah, you've had a decent start in the league, 6 points, 2 games to go, so you're in a decent place. When you start looking at the championship, are you able to feel, do you feel like the bounce and the energy and the progress is there? Because just from speaking to Conor Glass earlier on, Derry have had that injection with the new management team and the fresh ideas and stuff. Have you felt that this year at all, that kind of just maintaining the momentum of last year?
Yeah, look, that's it, and I suppose making a final is always going to be that. Girls want to play for Waterford Camogie, and I think us that are there feel privileged to be there, and we are very grateful to be there too, that you get to try on your county jersey. I think sometimes people forget that, and you're the lucky ones get to go out, so certainly are, and I think we're a very close group. We enjoy going training together, sure, with each other so much, you'd want to enjoy each other's company, so we certainly do, and yeah. Again, just grateful to be there, and I think that brings with it the momentum that you're looking for, and again, we've new management this year again, that does bring freshness with it as well. So really enjoying it at the minute.
Semi-finals are a funny thing, right? And I remember listening to you back when you bet Tip and it was a massive win. And, you know, I've covered a couple of club semi-finals this year where the fans are elated, but the players are trying to just get off, you know? Like, can you tap into anything from that experience of beating Tip that day?
Yeah, look, you certainly can, I suppose. It was a big day and good memories from that day too. But like that, semi-final is a tough one. You're thrilled to be in a final and still in the competition, but you haven't won anything at all. I suppose everyone around you is buzzing, and that was a big one, but you're trying to play it down a bit too. And
is that just on the pitch and in front of the media? Like when you go back into the dressing room, are you like properly celebrating for a few minutes? Can you enjoy it?
Yeah, look, I suppose we did certainly enjoy the dressing room after, and everyone's in good form and everyone's congratulating each other. But to be fair, after that, the next morning we settled down again and we went back at it, and I think it has to be that way. Look, but it's sport, you have to enjoy those moments too. Like, they don't come around often either. So look, we did enjoy it, and you enjoy when you're with your team after. But again, like that, it is kind of hard because we know more than anyone now, you haven't won anything.
Yeah. Well, one thing you've won is a couple of Ashburn Cups. You've won a fair few of them with UL. I don't know if you know what I'm getting to this, but you clearly love your hurling and camogie, because one of your managers had a great quote there about, I think it was a couple of years ago, you might have been in your early 20s, and You were trying to bounce the two managers off each other. You were letting on. You were telling one manager in Waterford, listen, I'm not going to play the Ashburn Cup game on Tuesday night. And then your Ashburn Cup manager, like, I'm not going to play Waterford the weekend. You were trying to play as much as you could.
Yeah, look.
Do you want to put that to bed? Are you going to deny those accusations?
I suppose I can't deny them now. At the time we were playing an awful lot. The league was earlier, and we were playing league, and look, I just want to play every time a chance to go. I hate it now watching. I hate doing that. So I used to just try to tell them that I wasn't, I stepped out of training, which I never was. But they well knew the two of them. They were more clued in than I thought, probably. But I just think any chance you get to tug out, you should enjoy it and be grateful for it. So that's why any chance.
And why do you love it?
I think it's just one place you can go probably and play camogie, and everything else is nearly irrelevant. You're just on a pitch and you're just playing. I just enjoy it and find it fun. And I suppose it's nice to try maximise yourself and see what you can get out of yourself in one code and see how that goes.
So is it like a freedom thing, like where you're tuning out, or are you just a competitive animal that you just want, like how does that transpire on the pitch?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of a freedom thing. I think, for example, if you have a tough day at work or at home or that, you can go onto a pitch and you can forget about it. But then I suppose I am extremely competitive as well, and I wouldn't like losing or that, or even just trying to get the best out of yourself. So it's probably a bit of a mixture. I think you can have that competitive side, but if you're too much that side, or if you're too much the other side, it probably doesn't help. So it's trying to get a balance.
De La Salle, obviously, when you think of De La Salle, John Milan would have been, before Bet Carton came around, John Milan was the one. But for you, Bet, growing up, you would have played hurling with the lads up until about 12. Look, that's a story that a lot of girls would have experienced up until about 12. Yeah. And then you got a camogie club around that time. Yeah. So what would have happened if they didn't bring in a camogie club? Would you have moved clubs, or what?
I suppose I never even thought about that, but I suppose that's the way it probably would have went now. I could never see myself playing with another club, so that would have been another issue.
Who would you have gone for?
I don't think it ever would have happened. So I think that's why I was about 10 and my father was heavily involved, and we had a good few girls playing with the lads, and like that, we wouldn't have had a club if it would have kept going. So set it up, and look, serious work went into setting that up, and there were years there you're wondering would it work and would it not, but thankfully it did. But like that, we're lucky now in Waterford, a lot of new clubs have set up, and that's what you need. But at the time there was very few clubs, so it would have been, you wouldn't know what would have come next if we hadn't set up.
You could have been lost it again.
It because like that, say I'm lucky my dad was involved, but if you wouldn't have had that, you wouldn't know where girls and other interests could come into it too.
You speak about your dad a lot in terms of, I suppose, being an inspiration and putting a hurl in your hand when you were about 4. What does that come from?
I suppose I was just lucky that in a way that my dad was so involved, but I think he thought the older brother was going to be there, and he didn't hold a hurley after 7, so he had no other option, I'd say.
He poured it all into you.
He had no other option now when the brother gave up. But I was very lucky, and look, my mum wouldn't have any background in it really, so kind of have a nice balance probably at home with it, whereas If you don't really want the honest opinion, you might go to the mother because you wouldn't really know.
That's kind of important because I suppose, like, I had the conversation with Conor a little earlier about his Hogan Cup kind of run and when he was a minor and he was getting picked out by the AFL scouts. It was around the same time as you. It was 14, 15 and 14. You had two Man of the Match winning performances in Croke Park. Was it an All-Ireland minor title and an under-16 title? David Clifford is somebody we were chatting to on the football pod last week who would have had a huge pedigree around the same time as Glass, would have played in that 16 Hogan Cup final and scored 2-5 here and then a couple of minor finals. It's a heavy burden to carry when you're that young. How did you deal with it?
Yeah, I kind of think when you're that young, I don't owe you a cop as much. You're kind of oblivious to a lot around you sometimes, and you're just enjoying playing, so you're just going and you enjoy the pressure of it nearly, of maybe hitting the freeze or trying to score as much as you can. I think when you're younger, you're a bit more oblivious. Maybe as you get older, maybe that small bit more pressure comes on, but back then I think you're just going playing every weekend and you're loving it.
And can you tap into that when you were 16, 17 taking frees and you won an intermediate title at 17, did you?
Yeah.
Can you tap into that feeling of I love this pressure now it is?
Yeah, I think you can, and I think especially back then you're 17, there's not too much expectations on you really, whereas now it could be a bit different. But yeah, I was very lucky at 17 to come onto a team with the likes of Trish Jackman, Jenny Simpson and them, and to learn from them from a very young age. So I think you're just very lucky that you got to see that, and now you're trying to probably show that a small bit to the younger guys coming into us. But I think I enjoy the pressure of it sometimes. I think if you leave it overtake it, I can, but I do enjoy it.
There was a brilliant slot on across all of Off the Ball last week. Off the Ball Breakfast did their Mount Rushmore of Irish women sportswomen. You know, I mentioned John Milan earlier and heard you cite John as an inspiration growing up. Of course he is. Like, yeah. What a legend. But for you growing up, who were you, your Irish sportswomen that you were looking up to?
I suppose Ursula Jacob would have been a big one. Wexford Camogie doing four in a row was massive. We were not too far from my home, and I suppose they came out of nowhere and won four in a row. And I remember I was at that final where Ursula scored the goal off the ground, and I just remember coming to that final and thinking one day you'd love to be there and doing that. Another big one, I suppose, would have been Trish Chapman at home as well. Looking up to her and the way she trained and everything, and she'd be still a very close friend as well. And then just naturally looking at Katie Taylor, I suppose, the Olympics, stuff like that. Like, we were very lucky growing up that we got to see, I suppose, so many sportswomen.
Yeah, like, and I suppose you have been lucky in the sense that that's been the last couple of years, but we were just talking a few minutes ago about at 12, there may not have been a Camogie club for you, like, so... Integration is a big topic at the minute, and 2027 is the date that's been set. Yeah. Hopefully we get there at that stage. Yeah. Is there tangible things that you'd like to see happen in the next 2 or 3 years before we get there?
I suppose I haven't thought about it too much. I just do think the integration is so important. I think it's a big thing. It will be a big thing now. I know, to be fair, there's a lot of work in it that has to happen for that to happen. And to be honest, a lot of probably over my head what has to happen. But look, I do think there's big improvements. I think the charter coming in, I think the GPA joining up with the WGPA was massive. And I think things like that have helped a lot. And I do think we're going in the right direction with it all.
Yeah, steps definitely being taken, and there's a date set, so the pressure's on to make that happen.
Exactly.
Bet Carton, thanks for chatting to us on Off the Ball. Best of luck for the 2024 season ahead.
Brilliant, thanks a million, Tommy.
Off the Ball, GAA.